How many love the word? I love the word. When I get done with you today, I pray that you're changed. I pray that you're transformed. I pray that it goes from your head to your heart. How many know if we get it in our heart? Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. We're going to get it in our heart. Father, bless this word in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed? Amen. Let's go over our scriptures. We're in the subject of faith. It's my favorite. Not really. I love the whole word. You all know that. But I love this subject because I feel like it's the most crucial piece of the puzzle. I just feel that way. I feel like that if you don't understand this, that it's going to corrupt you from what God wants for you. And I want you to know this. God wants you blessed from the top of your head. I'm not getting enough shouts on that. God wants you blessed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Somebody say amen. God wants you blessed coming in, and he wants you blessed going out. I want you to say this. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, and I'm not beneath. Say, I'm over, I'm not under. And then confess it this way. I am the righteousness of God through Christ. You're blessed. I want you to look at your neighbor, and I want you to tell them, you are blessed. Okay, you guys sitting up in the front, you got to turn around. You're going to have to look at the back. Let's try it again. You ready? Let's try it one more time. All right, find somebody. All right, are you ready? You ready? I mean, you can talk through your arm if you got to. All right, here we go. And I want you to tell them, you are blessed. Anybody in this room that's sitting in here and you're not sure, and you came here today depressed and discouraged and upset and offended and hurt and wounded, depressed, grieving, I want you to know something. God is for you. Yes. Amen. And if God is for you, it does not matter what's come against you. Just look at somebody again and tell them, it doesn't matter what's come at you. And then tell them, God's for you. Come on, you guys got to do this. It'll help you. You can help me preach this morning. I don't have to do it by myself. Look at somebody and say, let me tell you something. Do it with a preacher voice. Tell them like you're a preacher. Say, let me tell you something. God is for you. Hey! Can't nobody be against you. How many grew up in them days? Praise the Lord. And the Lord's with you. And if God be for you, can't nobody be against you. Nobody. Hebrews 11. Turn over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what I cannot see. Now, faith is the substance. How do I get faith? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. I'm going to combine these. It says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that I can't see, and I get faith by hearing and hearing the word of God. Got it? So we hear it, information. There's two levels of hearing here. Information. Comes in, preacher preaches it, you read the Bible, whatever it is, information. The second one is not information, it's revelation. It leaves my head, goes 17 inches, lands in my heart, and it becomes revelation. Our change does not come from the first one. My grandfather was a raving alcoholic. Like sick alcoholic, like really. And drank all the time, and when he got done, literally would lick the bottle caps to get the last drop. True, I'm telling you the truth. But he could quote the word better than I could ever hope to quote the word of God. It had not entered his heart. It was just in his head. How many of you know the devil knows the word? He don't believe it, because if he did, he would have never crucified Christ. It's what the Bible said. Isn't that what it said? It's not that you heard the word. See, we come to church every week. We hear the word. We become numb as Christians oftentimes to hearing the word. It's our 10:30 thing. I'm here for the 10:30 thing. I'm here for 10:30. And I expect to leave by noon because Golden Corral gets filled at 12:15. Family's waiting on me. You know what I'm saying? And we become numb, but it is that word that processed in our hearts becomes faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence. That word substance is massive. My day to day is not on substance, but I want you to know if you got to study, you want to go home and study, study the word substance. But you got your highlighters out, you got your Bibles out, you got your iPhones, iPads. I want you to highlight Hebrews 11:1. I want you to tell yourself you're going to memorize this. You're going to put this in your heart. And you're not just here to hear me preach. If you disagree with me, that's okay. Some things we agree on, and you accept those. If you disagree with me, we don't have to hate each other and leave the church because you disagree. Throw it out until you get it. And if I don't get it, pray that I get it. Somebody say amen. And so I hope I teach you something that will bond to your spirit so that you can understand something. So faith, which is the word of God, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what I can't see. Folks, when I can't touch it, when I can't taste it, when I can't feel it or smell it, when the five senses of my life don't work, the Bible says that I walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, thank God I don't walk by sight. Because if you did, you couldn't stay saved. When you get up in the morning and you trip over the bedpost and you're about to cuss, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, you got to pray through before you say another word. I was working with this guy and I'm learning construction. I'd hired him to help me build homes. This was how I got in the ministry. This is a crazy thing. The Lord sometimes takes you left and he gets you right. So I'm a lady comes to me and she says to me, I'll sell you my house for $40,000. She said, and I've got a $10,000 insurance policy on the house, and I'll give you the $10,000 insurance policy. If you'll take the house, you can remodel the kitchen and stuff with the $10,000 policy. I have never constructed anything in my life, really, never. And so I just decided, well, you know, I can double my salary. Maybe I can make more money than my, I could actually increase my salary by just simply doing this construction thing. Because I know this, I'm certain of this. See, because if you know the word of God, it's the substance. It's the substance. God didn't say I was going to be poor. That's not in the word. He said he's going to make me rich and add no sorrow to it. That means he's going to give me more than enough. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, he's going to give you more than enough. Come on, find somebody and say, he's going to give you more than enough. I know that. Seek first the kingdom of God is a revelation to me. It's not just words on a page. I know what that means. He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, I will add these things to you. I've got substance. It exists whether I have it in my hand or not. That's why I can walk by faith and not by sight. Because even though I'm not touching it, don't mean it's not touchable. That God doesn't have it laying in front of me. I hath not seen. Oh, I ought to get some more shouting. Come on. You got to come up higher. Come on. You got to come up higher. Oh, I'm not getting the shouts. Come on. Who wants to come up higher? Come on, church. We got to believe for higher. We got to believe for more. Well, you know, I'm not into money. Well, how about your marriage? How about your children? I mean, oh, don't go all religious on me. God wants you to have more. He wants you to go further and do more than you've ever done to exceed the boundaries of earthly limitations. He wants you to go past your DNA. I mean, your mother might have had breast cancer and your grandmother might have had it, but God said he wants me healed. He wants, by Jesus' stripes, I've been made whole. It don't have to operate at this board again, believer. I've got Jesus. I don't have to succumb to the DNA. My parents didn't grow up. They got into this religious circle and they grew up where they were stuck in holiness. If you're holiness, I love you. You can stay here and wear all the dresses you want. No makeup and don't ever cut your hair. You're welcome. But I've learned you can cut your hair and still go to heaven. I just didn't get enough shouting on that. I should have got more shouting on that. I should have got more people saying, what? really? But before they got saved, they had bought apartment buildings and condos and complexes in Buffalo, New York. And they were renting them out. I mean, like 4 and 5 story buildings they were renting out. They got saved and the preacher told them they couldn't have anything. They sold it all, gave most of it away, literally. Bought a VW that did nothing but smoke. Got rid of all the nice cars and then went to a school that taught on holiness. And we lived the first part of our life having nothing. Not because God didn't want us to have nothing, but religion had told them they couldn't have it. I don't know what part of your religious experience has you bound, because for me, that contaminated my faith for money. It just did. I had a contamination. I just had a hard time. I'd get it, and it was, you know, when the Bible talks about bags with holes in it, that's how my life was. It was like that. I could make hundreds of thousands of dollars and have holes in it. And I don't know. People would rob my house, steal stuff. I just can't even explain it to you. I don't even know how it went away. And I spent it frivolously, couldn't control it, had no discipline over it. Because in reality, there was a heaviness or a poverty spirit over me. And maybe you grew up that way. Maybe there were 16 of you in one bedroom. And it's contaminated your thinking. That's why you have to have the Word of God, which has no contamination and didn't live in a 16-room person house. You got to get to where you understand what God said about you. And it wasn't based on where you come from or who your daddy was here. It's based on who your daddy is there. How many know I serve a mighty God? He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. These aren't just words to me. I believe them. I'm not stuck on 4 churches. I don't know how far we're going to go, but I got faith for as many as I can build. And I know he's going to provide the money. If it's his dream, then it's his bill. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm not stuck on money. What? You don't pay my paycheck. I sat in an office with Pastor Reggie, my pastor, and he was saying what any pastor would say. And he was talking to the whole staff. He said, now I want y'all to know something. Some of y'all tapped it out. I'm not sure who he's talking to. Does anybody know? I'm thinking he's talking to me. You reached your limit. I swear, it's where I'm going. This is the end. And I'm like, okay, well, now what? I mean, you're preaching about prosperity. He's driving around in a Lexus. He's wearing really nice suits. I mean, he's doing really well, living in nice houses. I'm thinking he ought to give me some of his. Because, see, that's where humans go, right? They start envying. But God doesn't work in envy. He works by. Oh, come on. Come on, say it out loud. He works by. I walk by and not by. It's not who I see. It's not the guy with the 10 talents or the 5 talents. God gave me a talent. And if he gave me that talent, I'm supposed to do something with that talent. I don't judge my talent by the other guy's talents. That's a whole sermon. I could preach a whole sermon right there. Well, what about them? How come Jane got healed and I didn't get healed? How come they got a nice car and I don't have a nice? How come? You ought to be thanking God they got a nice one, because if they could get a nice one, so can you. If God will do it for Steve McCart, then he will do it for you. I get this phone call, and I'm never constructed anything. And first of all, I'm thinking, when I looked at it, I'm like, nah. I don't know what I'm doing. What? Nah. I've been told I'm tapped out. What do I do here? I go home. I sit down in my chair, literally. I sit down in my chair, and I hear the voice of God in my spirit. And this is what I heard. You ready? Only through laziness will you miss out on my blessing. Exact words. Only through laziness will you miss out on my blessing. I heard it as clear as you're talking. I jumped up off the seat. I said, Amy, I got to call this person to get this. I picked up the phone and said, I'll take it. I'll take it. We made so much money off that house that it was the money we used to start the first church. Faith is the substance. I didn't have the money for the first church. I didn't have anybody behind me saying, I'll build it for you. There was no support. I didn't have the backup team, and I didn't have a group of people that were going to join with me to do it. I didn't have partners in the ministry. I had me and Amy. But I had more than that. The children of Israel were stuck, and all of a sudden, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were forced into a decision, and they faced a challenge. As they came to the challenge, they heated up the fire further than they could heat it. And they walked into the fire and had said, our God will deliver us, and if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. I mean, because I know this. If I didn't get it here, I can tell you this. Listen to me. As a born-again believer, it doesn't matter. Because at some point, you get to be 85 years old and you're ready to go home. You know, your faith is going to be more about heaven than it will be about health. Amen. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? Your kids will be screaming, you can live another day. You need to live another. Keep breathing, Mama. Keep breathing, Mama. And you're thinking, shut up. I'm going home. That's really the truth. They get tired. But while you've got faith and while you're working, while you're at the point you can believe God, you've got to stand in faith, understanding it's not what you touch, taste, feel, see, hear, or smell. It is the Word of God that stands at the center post of your life. It is the center of your future. It is the center of what you're going to do. And it is the Word of God, because when I have the Word on it, I've got the substance for it. Does anybody get what I'm trying to say to you? You can't depend on what you know. You got to depend on what he knows. I have plans for you. Therefore, a better end, the Bible says. Jeremiah 29 tells us he's got plans for us. When I jump into his plan, I don't have to worry about what's around me. I just worry about they get in that fire. They're facing doom, despair, agony. And in the middle of that fire, Jesus showed up. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And the Bible says when they came out on the other side, that they were not scarred, burned, or hurt, and that their clothes didn't even smell like. It don't matter what the devil's trying to attack you with. I want you to know something. If you'll walk through the fire with faith, come on, when you walk through the fire, holding the hand of Jesus, look to the Lord, look to your Savior, look to the one who delivers you. When you walk through that fire, when you come out on the other end, you're not going to smell like smoke. Come on, I want you to shout that out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming up. I'm going over. I'm going through. Come on, somebody. Well, I don't know how I'm going to pray for college. I don't know how I'm going to get the money. God's got an answer. I don't know how I'm going to buy a car. God's got an answer. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Come on, just say that with me. Exceedingly. Say it out loud. Exceedingly. Abundantly. Then say this. Above all I can ask or think. The Word is the substance, and the Word is the evidence. I want you to look at Isaiah 119. Turn over there, Isaiah 119. I'm going to read Hebrews 11:6 in between. Without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And, conjunctive, and the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And then we go to Isaiah 119. If you be willing and obedient. You see, I had a moment. I've come to find out in my Christian experience. Listen to me. God continues to give us the moments. I thank God for that because we're human. But you'll always come back to a moment of decision about God that's transformative one way or another. Let me read this. I'm writing a book. This is just a little excerpt from the new book that I'm writing. I've got inspired. It's come on me. You'll be able to read my books. Comes from Acts 10:38 that says this: how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good, healing all those sick and oppressed by the devil. First of all, the depression and all the things that they faced were from the devil. Say, from the devil. He went about doing, you didn't hear me, let me read it again. Is it on there? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So he's anointed with the Holy Ghost. And he's got power following in him. And he went about doing, are you ready? Not evil, destruction, depression, discouragement, frustration, not training, teaching, hurting, defend. He didn't go about doing things. Our question is, where does stuff come from? Where does stuff come from? Ready? Then it goes on to say this. They were oppressed by the devil. Now go to John 10:10. Turn over to John 10:10. John 10:10, you ready? The thief comes to kill, steal, kill, and stop right there. They were oppressed by the devil. Jesus was anointed with power and went about doing what? Good. The thief comes to do what? Steal. Fundamental. You ready? The next part. I am come that you can have and have life. I didn't just come so you'd have life. I came so you could have an extraordinary life. Exceptional life. Over the top life. And I want you to know something. He don't have to take from somebody to give to anybody. He doesn't have to destroy your enemy so you can be victorious. He'll do that just because they're your enemy, not because he wants to make you victorious. You are victorious. You are victorious. God has already declared it. Jesus came that you could have life and that more abundantly. In other words, devil bad. Let's say that again so you can get it. Devil bad. God good. Let's say it again. Devil bad. God good. Why am I saying this? Why do you need to know this? If you don't know where it comes from, how do you know how to get rid of it? No. I don't think I got that. If you think God is the one who initiates the problems that you're in, then are you going to fight God? I mean, if you're in the hospital and you say, well, the Lord's got me here so I can witness to somebody. Am I supposed to pray you get healed, or should we wait until you finally can witness to somebody? No, I don't want to get that. I'm preaching so good right now. Because the devil lies to us, he corrupts us, he confuses us. And if we don't get this right, if we don't get this substantial point about God, we're confused. If I'm coming to pray for you, I'm not coming in doubt about what God's going to do. I already know. I'm not coming wondering if he's going to heal you. He said, by his stripes, you were healed. I don't have to question whether or not God wants you healed. I don't have to question whether or not he wants you to prosper. My God shall supply. You're not with me. I need you to speak it with me. My God shall supply. I'm not worried about what I need. As a matter of fact, I create need so he can supply it. If you don't have any need, then God's not working. Because he supplies the need. Y'all want to live in supply. You want to live on the supply side. All you can think about is the supply side. Have I got enough? Have I got enough? Have I got enough? You got to say, has God got enough for me to work with here? I got to have God step in and work in my life. I'm supposed to trust the Lord with all my heart, not to lean onto my own understanding, but in all my ways, I've got to acknowledge Him and let Him direct my path. I've got to have some need. Oh, y'all just want to have even street. It's God that makes it even. It's God that sees ahead before you start a church how much money you're going to need. It's God who looked into the future and defined it. And it's God who'll pay the bill. It's God who knows how to finance. It's God who knows how to help you out. He's a hedge about you. He's your protector. He's your strength. He's your source. You've got to know that the devil is bad and God is good. If it's bad, I'm not getting enough amens out of this. I need to get some more shouts. I need to get enough. If it's bad, it's not God. Now, why can I say that? Because we live in a world full of the flesh and the devil and sin. We live in a world that has storms and crazy things happen in it. And we have to live knowing the obedience to God brings us into the protection we need over the problems that we face. I read a story this morning of a lady. They had an orange grove in the back of their house. They'd been believing over this orange grove, and they're in California, and a 5-day, 20-degree drop in temperature came. Listen, orange trees can't survive in 20-degree weather. They didn't know what was going to happen in the 5-degree weather. They walked outside, started touching the trees and praying over the trees and anointing the trees and speaking to the trees and confessing God over the trees. 5 days later, on the 6th day, it had warmed up. Things had gotten better. They walked outside to see if the trees had died. They went out there. Everything around it had died. 2 trees that they didn't pray for died. But all the trees they prayed for were green and the fruit was luscious. They were able to pick it and give it away because God took care of the trees in their yard. God cares about us. He supplies our needs according to... I'm not walking in doubt. I'm walking by faith. I trust the Lord with all my heart. Come on, somebody. Do you know God's going to take care of you? Do you know God's going to watch out for you? Do you know if you follow Him, it's going to be okay? Somebody said, I don't like him yelling. Well, I can't help it. It just starts rolling up on the inside of me. I'm standing on a field several years ago, and we're talking about how we have to know that God is good. We have to know. We have to get beyond the thought that bad comes from Him. Every good gift. Come on, every good gift. And every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Come on, that's talking about revelation, the gift, the insight for us to understand. It comes from His light. He's light. Revelation. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He ain't turning. He's not changing His mind tomorrow. He didn't change it yesterday. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Come on, somebody. He's with you. He's never leaving you. He's protecting you. He's guiding you. When you walk with Him, you can trust Him. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you can trust God. Every good gift. Every perfect gift. It wasn't just that He's going to give you the good gift. It is a gift higher than your expectations. I keep talking about this. I'll get back to what happened on the field. But when I went to build my house, Amy and I had tried to buy a house. I told you the story. We were going to buy a house on this certain street. And this was before we had W-2s. The church had just started. We were a year in. And we didn't have all the documentation. There's no way we could buy the house because we couldn't get it financed. No way. So we had to say no, go back to the drawing board. They told us you have to wait till next year, or you have to get a W-2. You got to come back when you got the finances. But we loved the house. It, you know, preachers have to find houses where people can't spy on them. Come on, I run around with my shirt off sometimes out in the yard. You don't need to see it. Come on. Amen. Perfect house. Couldn't get it. Well, we'll look next year. Believing God for that wonderful gift of a house with the number of bedrooms that we wanted at that time. And Lord knows we waited a year and went back to the real estate agent, sat down and said, we're ready to look again. We qualified, actually pre-qualified. So we're ready to go look at houses. We rode around with that lady in the car all over Florence. Nothing. Couldn't find a thing. We get back to the office and she's discouraged. We are too, because we thought we'd find something. She says, listen, this morning a house came out. It's in the back room. We haven't actually posted it. We just hung it on the back room. They want to sell it. It's a company house. Prudential Real Estate owned it. They've sold it. They're trying to get rid of it. Their guy left. And we need to get rid of this house. Let me go get the paperwork. She walked back in the room. She hands us the paperwork. Somebody lived in that house for a year, held on to that house for a year, needed to leave abruptly, had to sell it at a massively discounted price, and it was the exact house we had looked at a year earlier and couldn't buy. That house. Discounted. Paperwork in order. Trust in the Lord with all. See, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good. I want you to know some, everybody in this room, God has called you blessed. God has called you anointed. God has called you a worker. God has said he would supply. God will provide. God will increase. God will move on your behalf. Tomorrow's better than today. Come on, shout out. My tomorrow is better than today. So I'm on this field. I'm coaching. There are probably 20 teams on the field that are doing soccer. The rest of them are doing football. There's one group that's doing football, a little older. Back at that time, they used to do the 13-year-olds that didn't make the JV team out there. As we're on the field, I look at the sky, and I've got that lightning watch on, and it jumps on there and says, there's lightning. You know what I mean? You can see that. So I'm like, okay, this is not good, because it's 5 miles away, and it's moving toward us. It looks like it's moving toward us. I went to the director, which I thank God he listened to me. How many know he'll lead us and guide us into all truth? Listen, I want you to know something. You don't have to live down. You don't have to live like you don't know. You don't have to live like you can't see it. You don't have to, you may not have natural sight, but you have spiritual sight. You are a spirit, and the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him don't do it with your head. You don't do it with your hands. You do it with your heart. It's your heart. And he'll lead us and guide us into all truth. Lead us. And the Lord spoke to me and said, get them off the field. I went to the director and said, we got to get everybody off this field. I don't know how to tell you this, but there's lightning in the air and I'm scared. Something inside of me says that this is dangerous. Let's get them all off the field. He said, I agree with you. And so we took all the teams off the field, but five guys stayed on the field. They were the coaches for the football team. One of them attended our church. They're out there on this football field. Within 5 minutes, a lightning strike, huge, hit the ground, and those five men didn't leave the field. They all fell to the ground. They were all struck by lightning at that moment. Four of them got up. One of them was in arrest. Couldn't breathe. It must have been even a closer strike or right on him that hit him, and he's now on the ground, and they're doing CPR to try and save his life. I now hear about this. I've got to run to the hospital. I get there, and for all intents and purposes, they basically said, he's dead. He's not going to live. Nothing's going to happen. Now, first of all, I want you to know something. God gave me a warning. God gave me a warning. See, if we'll listen to the Holy Ghost, he can tell us, don't leave yet. Don't turn right this time. How many of you ever had that happen to you? Come on, let's be honest. Have you ever, raise your hand if you've had God stop you in the middle. He'll be able to tell you how not to get on a plane. I mean, I'm not talking about emotions. I'm not talking about being driven by emotions. I'm talking about being led by the Holy Ghost. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When God leads us, He knows. We're not acting out of our own. Yeah, we got everyday life that we live, but God wants us to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Acknowledge Him. Put Him in the center of it. Ask Him if this is right. Ask Him if this is what I'm supposed to do. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If they'd gotten off the field, that young man had not been struck with lightning. I get to the hospital, I laid hands on him. Listen, nothing happened. The dials didn't move. There was not a lightning flash in the room. Nothing. He didn't shake or anything. I laid hands on him. I commanded him to live in Jesus' name. When I got done, it was like the presence of God flooded the room. Boom. It's like God showed up. And I said, He's coming out. He's coming out. And the mother said, well, I'll tell you this. I knew God wasn't going to kill my son. And I'm at this point, okay, I got some training to do. Because God's got a plan for him. God wasn't going to kill him. God's got a plan for him. I stopped her. I said, wait, well, stop. I said, he's going to come out of this because God's the healer.
That's right.
He's not dying because God struck him with lightning. He's dying because he got struck by lightning. You understand? He's dying because we live in a world with lightning. Now, the Lord had told me to leave the lightning. Go in the house. They didn't listen to that. They didn't listen to the instructions. I want you to know something. Listen. If he had died, which he didn't, he was miraculously healed. The moment I left the hospital room, he snapped in. Within days, he was out of the hospital. Today he works a job here in town. He's totally well and healthy. Jesus healed him from imminent death. Thank God for it. Because God knows how to help us in the midst of our challenges. When we fail, thank God he's there. If you, right? Confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. Thank God we can miss it and still have God's blessing. Somebody say amen. But she had attributed what had happened as if God had initiated it. I know that God did not initiate him in the middle of a lightning strike. Because it's the devil that's bad. I'm not getting enough out of it. I'm not getting. Maybe you're starting. Maybe this is getting in your spirit so you can understand that the thief is the one who comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. And if I'm willing and I'm obedient, I can eat the good of the land. As I preach, and I teach you, and I talk to you, you'll have moments where you'll have an opportunity to accept it. I mean, and thank God there's time for acceptance. I've seen things in my life that took years to fix. Years. And God loved me and helped me all the way through it. I also realized while I was disobedient that I went through a lot of things that were the outcome of my disobedience. They were not God teaching me. They were me being stupid. I'm preaching real good. Some of you are wondering why things happen to you. It's because you've heard the word, but you haven't yet accepted it as revelation. You haven't said, yes, he's right. See, you know, when I grew up, they had you going around the mountain, around the mountain, around the mountain. Y'all remember them stories? You got to go around the mountain, 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 around the mountain. 40 years, they went around the mountain, around the mountain, around the mountain, and then until they learned, around the mountain, around the mountain, around. And we go through the wilderness. You ever heard the wilderness teaching? You got to go through the wilderness. Got to go through the wilderness. Got to go through the wilderness. Y'all got to go through the wilderness. Got to go through the wilderness. God never intended for the children of Israel to spend one day in the wilderness. In the Bible, it tells us that they went through it because of their disobedience and their lack of faith. God did not send them around the mountain. They sent them around the mountain. They were the reason that they didn't have the pomegranates and the grapes. They were the reason that they ended up dying in the wilderness. They were the reason. God wanted them to enter into rest. Read it. He wanted them to enter into rest. They were 12 days from where they were to the garden, and yet they spent 40 years in a wilderness. God wanted them to walk the 12 days and cross the river, not spend 40 years in disobedience. They heard God. They heard him, but it did not enter into them as faith. If you read it, it says it did not come into them as faith. The word did not enter them and become the revelation that God had guaranteed the future in the promised land. They went there and 10 of the spies saw something different than the other two. 10 of them had only earthly vision. They could only see it through the natural eyes. Well, what about me? And what about this? And what about that? And we see, and I saw, and I saw giants. And two of them said, we can whip their behinds. That's what they said. Take us over. Eventually, those two went. Why? Because they understood that their faith and confidence was not in themselves, their abilities, their knowledge, their information. Instead, it was in the word of the Lord. What did God say? I want you to know something. Whatever God said, you have the right to it. Whatever God said you could have, you have the right to it. I'm done with this. I got married, and the first year of my marriage was H-E-L-L. Nobody laughed, but it was bad. Oh, it is bad. Horrible. Like, horrible. Two individuals grew up in different homes, you know. Mine was volatile, yelling and screaming, hollering, throwing stuff. I hate to even admit all this. To tell you the truth, it's just fighting all the time. I came home one day from school and my dad was laid out in the floor. The paramedics were at the house and they were trying to resuscitate him. My mother hit him with one of those rental vacuum cleaners across the head. Ding! Put him out. That's just a story. But we yelled and screamed all the time. I mean, literally yelled and screamed. This is normal. Normal life. And just like it was just normal. Like there was just, we never thought a thing about it. Scream, holler at each other, yell at each other. If I get around my sister, I have to really discipline myself because it comes back. My wife grew up in a house that wasn't like that at all. A mother who had been left by her father. They're all alone. They're by themselves. He left them with an empty house, nothing, a payment, and 5 dogs. And they had to survive with the 5 dogs. When they got mad at each other, they would buy each other gifts. So they'd have a fight, go to their room, and you'd go buy the other person a gift. So you'd open up your door and there'd be a little gift at the bottom. In my house, we'd have stomped on it. What do you think you're doing? Buy some stupid gift? Throw it at them. Yeah, take that back. I mean, we're in trouble. You understand? We're in trouble. And her management of money was spectacular. She paid all her bills. You know, they didn't have any. But she was a manager. But she paid for her own college, bought her own car. She was phenomenal. Money in the bank. She paid her bills early. You know how men pay their bills on the late date? You know, what does it say? March 25th. What's the late date? March 28th. Oh, pay it the 28th. Hold it for a month. Hold it for a month. This is how we got married. First year's terrible. Neither of us can manage money. We're screaming, hollering at each other, throwing stuff. You know, now this is 26 years ago, so don't hold me to it. People, you're new in the church. You're like, oh my God, he's violent. I'm not violent. I don't do this anymore. 26 years of miracle. Look at it. Changed. You see it? Changed. And my wife used to be silent. Not no mo. Not no mo. A miracle came on her. Boom. She has no problem discussing it now. All right, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. But here's what I knew. You shall become one flesh. I had substance. Does anybody see what I'm talking about? It sure didn't look like it. And I sure was walking by faith.